We begin the new Masechta, Masechta Saita. We begin in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara begins the discussion of the title of this Masechta regarding the suspected adulterous woman. Now, the basic structure of this is three parts. There's Kinoi, which our Mishnah is going to immediately address. Then there's Stira, and then there's Tumah, which the Kinoi is the warning the husband gives that he suspects her with a certain man. He says, I warn you not to seclude with that man. Stira is then when she secludes with him. And Tumah is if someone can verify and say that I saw that she was unfaithful with that man. That's the basic structure of the Saita. There are certain situations that you only have Kinu and Stira, and there are different halachas when there is a Tumah. So our Mishnah begins with the thing that starts it all, Hamakani Le'ishtar. Someone does Kinu to his wife. Now, Rashi explains that, what does the word Mekane mean? The Mishnah is borrowing the term of the Pasuk, which it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perakeh, V'kine es ishtar. Now the Gemara on Amud Bey, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, is going to explain what exactly is this term of Kinoi. But the Mishnah first will explain exactly how does the process of Kinoi happen. So there's a Machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says that if the husband wants to have his wife drink the Mei Saita. Now the Mei Saita is when it's not verified. It's not clear. There were no, for sure, no two witnesses that were able to verify that she was unfaithful. But rather, he warned her. And she was secluded, which that's what the Torah gives a unique halacha regarding when there's a situation of doubt in regards to the suspected adulterous woman. So that's what's called, she drinks the Mei Saita. There's a special water that's prepared, special drink in the Beis HaMikdash. So if he wants her to drink this Mei Saita, so Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. Mikana lo al pi shnayim. So first of all, he has to bring two witnesses that testify that he said in front of them that to his wife, He's saying, two witnesses watch, I'm telling my wife, don't have stira, don't seclude yourself with this man. Now, what essentially Rabbi Eliezer is saying is that if he didn't warn her in front of two witnesses, then even if she ends up secluding herself with another man, she does not become forbidden to her husband, and he can't make her drink the Mei Saita. So although generally there is halacha, that even if there's no aid, there's no witness that could verify what happened there behind closed doors, but that we know there was a kinui la halacha and a stira la halacha, then because of the doubt, that's the halacha of the suffix saita, she becomes forbidden to her husband. And she has to then be verified, unless she admits to her guilt, to drink the mei saita. Here in this situation, Eliezer says, since the kinui, the warning, wasn't in front of two witnesses, that won't be. So the first step has to be that the kinui was done through two witnesses. Then, umashka, then even if, regarding the stira, her actual seclusion with that man, there weren't two witnesses. Rather, to make her drink the Mei Saita, it could even be al pi eid echad or al pi atzmai. Even based on one witness's testimony that she was secluded, or even based on his own testimony. If let's say the husband says that I saw her seclude herself with this man after I had warned her, and I have two witnesses that verify that I warned her, she becomes forbidden by just being secluded with that man until she drinks the Mei Saita. Now the Gemara in Amud Beis will learn out from Psukim that how do we know this concept that just by being secluded she becomes forbidden to her husband out of doubt. Meaning we don't know. If a married woman is unfaithful with another man, she obviously becomes forbidden to her husband. And there are other consequences and repercussions. Here we don't know. She was secluded with this man. Still, that's what the Torah tells us, that if you have a halachic kinui, which again Rabbi Eliezer is telling us needs two witnesses, and halachic stira being secluded, which Rabbi Eliezer is telling us is good enough even with one witness or even the husband himself, then she becomes forbidden to our husband and she has to go through the procedure of drinking the saita waters. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Pshuaimer, he says, Mekanu la pishnai, regarding that he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that to create kinui, the warning, that halachic valid warning in the parsha of saita, that has to be through with two witnesses. But Umashka Pishnaim, he argues and he says that you also need two witnesses to create the halachic entity of stira, of creating that she was secluded. And again, then she would be forbidden to her husband, and then she would have to drink the saita waters. So that's Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. They both agree that you need two witnesses for kinoi. Machlekes says you need two witnesses for stira, or one witness, or even the husband himself. Now the Mishnah explains, Ketzad Mekandala. What is this halacha? How does he warn her to create that when she then does stira, then she'll be forbidden to her husband and she'll have to drink the saita waters out of the doubt that maybe she was unfaithful. So, let's say he tells his wife in front of two witnesses, I don't want you to speak with that man. V'dibrei mo'i, and now she goes and she speaks with him, but not in a secluded place. So then, adayin himuteres labeisa. So she's still permitted to her house, which is a euphemism, meaning she's still permitted to have marital relations with her husband. Umutu lecha b'truma, and moreover, if let's say she's the wife of a kohen, she's permitted to partake from truma. She does not become forbidden to her husband. She's considered a regular married woman, even though her husband says, don't speak with this guy. If she didn't do stira, she wasn't secluded with him, then that's not a problem. But if nechnesayimai labeisa seiser, so he warned her. Not only that, now she goes and she secludes herself with this man. Moreover, there's another variable. Then she remained with him in this secluded place, the amount of time it takes for her to become defiled, which is, as we'll see later on in this parak, the amount of time for her ra, which is the initial contact of cohabitation. Then asur labeisa, then she becomes forbidden to her husband to have marital relations. And that's because of a situation of doubt. We don't know if she was mizan or not, but because she did stira, which came after kinui, that we learn out later on, the Chav Ches Amid Aleph, it says three times nitma in the parsha of the site. It says, v'kines ishto v'nitma, it says, v'hise imnitma, it says, tachas isha v'nitma, it says the word v'nitma, that she becomes tame three times. One is to teach that she becomes forbidden to her husband, again, just by having kinui and stira. One is that she becomes forbidden to the boil, the one that she had relations with. And one is that if her husband either dies or divorces her, that then the asura lechol, that means in other words, she becomes forbidden to the boil if, obviously as a married woman, she's going to be forbidden to the boil. That's if her husband divorces her or dies, then even after that, she can't marry the boil, the one that she was unfaithful with. And the third term vinit was to tell us, the asura lechol b'truma, that she's forbidden to partake from truma. So those are the three things we learn out from a woman that's considered the saita, the suffix saita, the situation of doubt that was created for kinyan stira. Now moreover, it's the emes, if let's say before he got a chance to have her to drink the mei saita, which is the situation she's at right now because of the kinyan stira, and then he dies, now moreover he doesn't have any children, so now she's zokuk, she has this bond attached to her late husband's brothers. So the halacha is chaylet says that they only do chalitza, which is to have her marry other people, v'loy misyabemes, and they don't do yibim with her, which is taking their brother's widow for marriage. And the Gemara of Haman Bez will learn the source for that. How do we know that the suffix saita, if her husband dies without any children, that they don't do yibim with her, rather, they only do chalitza. So that's the halacha of the Mishnah, again, that defines this concept of the suffix saita, not with tuma. We're not discussing when there's actually a witness that can verify, even just one witness who says, I saw they actually had this maisis nos. No, you have kinui and stira, which just tells us an element of doubt, but that's what the Torah tells us, as we'll learn out from Psukim, that the woman becomes forbidden to her husband until she then drinks from the mais saita, the saita waters, which will then verify what happens to her if she really was mazana or not. And we had a machlekes regarding stira, kinui, everyone agrees needs two witnesses. The question is stira need two, or is it enough with the husband or one witness? Now, the Gemara asks a general question regarding the beginning of this mesachta. Mechti, let's see. Tana minazir salik. The Tana, who's we're going through the order of the Mishnayis, left off the last mesachta that we learned was mesachtas nazir, and then we go to mesachta saita. So the question is, my Tana, what did we learn in mesachtas nazir regarding the concept of Naziris, that's similar to the concept of Saita, the Katana Saita, that the next Masechta after Nazir, we learn Masechta Saita. What is the connectivity of the last Masechta to this Masechta? So on that, the Gemara answers, Kedir Rebbe. It's like what Rebbe had said. The time, like learning the Brice, Rebbe, he says, Lama Nismucha Parshas Nazir, La Parshas Saita. Why in the Torah is it written that comes the parasha of Nazir after the parasha of Saita? The parasha of Saita, again, is this parasha about the suspected adulterous married woman. And the parasha of Nazir is someone that says that he's not drinking wine anymore, he's not going to cut his hair, he's not going to be Tamil Mason. So why is it that the parasha of Nazir comes after the parasha of Saita? So that Rebbe says, Lemecha, it's coming to teach you the following lesson. Shekola Roya Saita Bikal Kula, whoever sees the suspected adulterous woman in her disgrace and in her embarrassment because they degrade her, as the Mishnah tells us later on the Zayin Mabez, that they tear her garment, and then to keep her garment up, they tie a rope around above her chest area. It's very degrading. So it says, whoever sees this, Yazar Atma Minayayin, he should separate himself. He should become a nazir from partaking from wine. And the reason being is because you should learn the lesson of what happened. It's because of wine that causes frivolity. And that's what caused this woman to be in that state, to do something so silly, to go ahead and be mezana. So if someone sees that state of disgrace, they should realize, this should tell me what I should be doing. And I see the destruction that could be wreaked from such a thing like drinking wine of Kalas Reich. So therefore, he should learn, take that lesson and become a nazir. So therefore, that's why there's a connection between nazir and saita, whereas that when someone sees the saita, he should become a nazir. And so just like in the Torah, so too in the Mishnais. Now that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if we're listening saita, v'hadu listening nazir, then if just like in the Parshas, it's like that, where it first says saita and then nazir, because that what causes, that's the cause and effect. So why is Mesech the saita after nazir? It should be saita then nazir. So now the Gemara says, you're right. But I did the Tanik Subis, an earlier Mesech, was Mesech the Ksubis, which talks about the halachas between a man and his wife and regarding the Ksuba, the marriage contract. Now, the Tana Hamadah, now one of the Prokem Mesech the Ksubis, is Perek Hamadah Es Ishtoi, regarding if someone makes a neder regarding his wife. Now, once that Perek Mesech the Ksubis was discussed in the Darm, so Tana in the Darm, so that's why we learn Mesech the Darm after Mesech the Ksubis, which is related to one of the Prokem Ksubis. Now, the I did the Tana Nadarim. Now, once we learn Mesechtes Nadarim, Tana Nazir. We learn Mesechtes Nazir after Mesechtes Nadarim because the Dame le Nadarim. Because Mesechtes Nazir is similar to Nadarim, to vows, because Naziris itself is taken upon a person through a Neder. And therefore, then, once we mention Mesechtes Nazir, so then Bukhtani Saita, we learn Mesechtes Saita after that, Kedir Rebbe, like Rebbe, because there is a connection. Yes, really, it should be Saita then Nazir, but we're having Nazir after Nadarim, which is after Ksubas. So once we're saying Nazir, someone mentions Saita because of that connection, because that Saita has with Nazir. When someone sees the Saita Pekakula, he should be Yazir Atzmai Minayayim. Now the opening word of this Mesechta, which is in the box, says Hamekane. If someone does Kinui to his wife. Now the word Hamekane, the one that does, sounds like the Gemara makes an inference, the Eved in Likit Chilaloi. Sounds like that's only after the fact, but initially a person should not do Kinui, should not give his wife a warning about secluding with another man. Now, the inference is from the fact that it didn't say, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, he says, Mekane Odom Le'ishta Al Pishnayim. That would sound like that's what a person should do. A person that wants to do Kinui should do it to his wife through two witnesses. It doesn't say that. It says, if someone does it, so how is it done? It's done through two witnesses. So on that, the Gemara makes a comment, Kesavah Tana Didan, Asla Kana said, obviously, the Tana of Mishnah holds that it's forbidden to do Kinui. In other words, it's not something that we should really be doing because it causes discord and fights and it causes his wife to be in a state of disgrace as is part of the process of going through the Meisaita in the Beis HaMikdash. And even if she's pure, it's still going to be degrading. So therefore, it's not an appropriate thing for a person to try to do, to put his wife up into this situation by starting it all by doing Kinui. Now, actually related to this idea about that the husband should not do this to his wife, although he might suspect her. So Amr B'Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he says, Ki ava pasach Rish Lakish b'saita, when Rish Lakish would come to expound and darshan on this parsha of the Saita, Amr Hachi would say the following idea. E mezavgin lo ilo odom isha, that don't think that, oh, you're better than your wife and you're saying, oh, she's not appropriate in doing Kinui, I'm warning you, and that causes this whole disgrace that happens to the wife, that actually a woman does not get partnered as a wife with a man, only according to his own actions. It's reflective. She's a mirror of you, which means, say, a modest woman goes to a righteous man. A prutza goes to a rasha, to a wicked man. Like it says in Pasuk in Tehillim, because the rod of the wicked does not come onto the portion of the righteous. And therefore, one should just know that, don't think that, oh, she's a bad person, but you're great. It's matched up accordingly. So don't go through this as a b'dievet hamakan l'ishtay, because don't think that it's her and that has nothing to do with you. Related, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba b'b'chan Amar b'yechanan. The caution, it's harsh in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lezavgan, to match up these people, which we said that the husband and wife is according to their maisim, according to their actions, that is, a rasha gets a prutza and a tzaddik gets a tznua, kikris yamsef, like the splitting of the sea when the Jewish people left Egypt, where that had to change the whole order of creation. That's not how waters usually are. That's how, so to speak, difficult it is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have to match up the people according to what level they are actually at the time, and therefore to create their shidduch. It says a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Elikim Moshe v'chidim b'isa, that God takes the individuals into a house. Meaning he takes an individual man, an individual woman, he peers them together, and from them he makes a house out of them. That is, as the pasuk says, Mitzi asirim b'kisharis, that he takes out those who are in bondage in kosher, in an opportune time. Meaning, what that's a reference to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Egypt at a kosher month, meaning an appropriate month, which wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold during the month of Nisan. Now, so what we see that the pasuk is doing is comparing the matching up, the marriage of individuals to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to when they were leaving Egypt, which is the reference of Kriyas Yamsa, which was the conclusion of the leaving of Egypt. So that's the concept of that kasha zivugin shel adam ke Kriyas Yamsa. That's how difficult it is, in a sense, to say that regarding the person keeping on, that his actions will define for him what type of a wife he's going to get according to what level he's at. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so that the shidduch is based on the person's merits or demerits? If a person's, whatever he's holding by, that's what type of a wife he's going to get in the marriage? Now, but and again, that's why we said you open up the Parashah of Saita to say, don't think it's her, it's you too. But V'amar Yehuda, Marav, Arbam Yom Koid Mitzirus Avlad, 40 days before the formation of the child, I mean before he even gets formed, where you don't know yet, there's no merits or demerits at that time, he wasn't even brought into this world yet, Baskol Yoitzis Voi Meris, so a heavenly voice rings out and says, meaning it calls out his zivug, his shidduch, it says, Bas Plaini Leplaini, the daughter of that man will be going to that man. Bayis Plaini Leplaini, the house, that house will be going to that man. Sada Plaini Leplaini, that field will be going to that man. In other words, that everything is already designated beforehand. So therefore the Gemara's question is that how can you say that his shidduch, that his mate will be based on where he's at, and that's what accordingly he'll get, when it was already, before he was even born, it was already decided back then who was going to be his marriage partner, and that wasn't at a time that he had merits or demerits. Now, Rashi asks a basic question regarding God's understanding of the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So you're right, he didn't yet do those mitzvahs or averas, but Hashem knows what he's going to be at, and now already, he has already declared what's going to be in 20 whatever years that the person is going to get married, which at that time he'll be with that much zchus and chayvus, and so therefore he could say already who that shidduch is going to be. So now Rashi says that, as the famous Gemara says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. As the Gemara says in Masechet Nidah daf Tazayin amud Beis, that it says that there's an angel that is appointed regarding conception, and he takes that drop of semen that's going to create this child, and he brings it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, this drop, what should be regarding it? Should it be strong or weak? Should it be smart or foolish? Is it going to be wealthy or poor? But tzaddik v'rasha, righteous or not, that doesn't say, because that's not b'dei shemayim. Now, on that, the Bach explains, which actually doesn't finish the idea over here. So therefore, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know the future, however, since it depends on the person's actions, so therefore that's not something that's possible to say right now, because that's what Bechir is, free will is, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, but that's free will, and therefore that's not something that's going to be announced at this point. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Is it Lefi Maisa, or is it something that's not Lefi Maisa, because it's something that's announced 40 days before the person is even formed? So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha, it's not a difficulty, because they're exclusive. Ha, Bezivig Rishon, one is talking about the Abom Yom Koid Mitzir Savlad, that's regarding his first mate. That is something that's according to the person's mazel, which is based on the constellations, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. That's already 40 days before. Ha, Bezivug Sheni. However, regarding his second mate, that's according to the person's actions. And that is what the Gemara is saying, that's Kosh Lezavgan, it's difficult to match them up, because actually she's not really his partner. The Zivig Rishon was the one that was declared 40 days before, this is who is supposed to be the perfect one for this person, but then based on the person's actions, those things could change. That's why it's difficult to match them up, because it's not as the world was, so to speak, supposed to be. And therefore, that's like Nishtan Lefi Seder Maisa Bereishis, where, yeah, the waters weren't supposed to split, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I'm going to have to change the Maisa Bereishis That's the same thing according to the person's actions. He can create that change. That's what's called zivug sheni. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, he said, Mikanu la pishnaim, says, so we said this concept of suffix saita, where she becomes forbidden out of doubt to the husband, because he warned her, and because she was secluded. So he says this, the warning has to be with two witnesses, v'chulu, etc., where he said that the mashka, the bringing her to have to drink, which that's a reference to the stira, to the her being secluded with the man, that could be even with one witness, or even by himself, whereas Rabbi Shua said, no, even the stira, to cause her to drink, has to be with two witnesses. Now, on that, the Gemara makes a comment. Adkan loy pligi el bekinu v'stira. The only thing that we find in our Mishnah, that we have machlekes regarding Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we only find that they argue regarding the warning and the seclusion. And that is that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you only need two witnesses by the warning. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that you even need to have two witnesses by the seclusion. Aval betumo. But regarding her being defiled, meaning by actually having that cohabitation during that time that she was secluded with that other man, that seemingly ate echad mehemen, that even one witness is believed regarding the tumah of that happened in the stira that came after the kinar. And the Gemara says it's not just a dig we're making from our Mishnah, but it's not nami. So do we learn the Mishnah later on, the Vlamat Alf Mad Alf, that says, eight echad oim, if one witness says, that I saw that she became defiled in this stira, then actually she wouldn't even drink, and rather she leaves without a ksuba, and she becomes forbidden to her husband, to the boil, the one that she had the relations with as a married woman, and she's forbidden to truma. So that's a third element that we're saying. In our Mishnah, we didn't mention that concept. We only mentioned kina and stira, which then creates that suffix, that doubtful situation. Here we're saying that, and then that brings you the only way you can verify that is with the meis saita. However, if there's a third person, there's another person over here, even a one witness that says, I saw them being mezana, I saw them cohabiting, then she's usher, she loses her ksuba, he's believed, and there's no more meis saita, and she leaves the baal, the boil, and truma. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, biblically, where do we know this concept that one witness is believed regarding the tumah that happens in the stira after kinnur? So the Gemara says, the Tarabon, like we learned the Braisa, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar, it's in Perek Hey, pasuk Yud Gimel, that says, v'shachav ish oisa shechva zeref, another man will lay with her, v'nela me'eni isha, and she'll be hidden from her husband's eyes, v'nistra v'hi nitma, and she'll be secluded and she'll become tameh. So the pasuk there says, the aid ain ba, and there is no aid, there's no witness regarding this act. So on that, the Braisa says, b'shnayim ha'kas medaber. When it says the word aid, although it's in the singularity, it's actually a reference to two witnesses. In other words, what the pasuk is saying is that in this act of tumah, meaning her being defiled by having relations with another man, it's saying that there isn't two witnesses, but obviously what that means to say is, but there is one witness. Now, as Rashi clarifies, the pasuk is talking about the concept of tumah, not her being warned, not her being secluded, but her actually having cohabitation with another man, which is what tumah means to say, that she becomes defiled. As the pasuk there says, v'shachav ish aisa shechvazer, it's talking about another man laying with her, and then it says, v'hi nitma. Now, that is what the pasuk says, v'aid ein ba, means to say, the word aid actually means two witnesses. There's no two witnesses, only one witness, and that's actually what the pasuk ends off by saying, "Vehi loy nitfasa," that she wasn't forced, it wasn't against her will, meaning to say, but rather that she did it willingly. Now, obviously, what we're trying to say, then, what the pasuk is alluding to, is that whoever is testifying will be believed. From the fact that we're saying "Vehi loy nitfasa," that she wasn't forced, is trying to say, you know why we're stringent with her, you know why she's forbidden, because she wasn't forced. So obviously the pasuk is trying to say that she is liable, that she is going to become asur. Now moreover, actually from the pasuk beforehand, we also get this concept where it says imal or by imal, that she did treason against her husband, for shachav ish oisa, and a man was laying with her, and that was saying that there's eight aimba, and even though there's no two witnesses, but there's only one witness, still she's going to be forbidden to her husband. Now the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Alf will explain that this is actually talking about after the kinui, where although it's actually a subsequent pasuk that says v'ava lav ruach kinna, that the husband will have a spirit of kinna, of jealousy, of anger towards his wife, and he's going to warn her. The Gemara actually will expound that it's actually referencing that it's that he had already had this kinui, and then there's talks about stira, and then that's what we're ending off in the pasuk, that the eight aimba regarding this tumah that she had with him, there's no two witnesses, and although there's only one, but since v'hiloy nitfasa, since she wasn't forced, so therefore she's even forbidden to her husband. So therefore, that's what the Braisa says. You see from this pasuk that even one witness who's testifying regarding the tumah, the actual cohabitation, will make her forbidden to her husband. She loses her ksuba, she's out, the meisah is not even going to work. Now, on that, the Braisa says, o'yeina ela afila be'echor, or maybe it's not true. Maybe actually, what the pasuk is saying is, v'eid ein ba, that to say that there's actually not even one witness. Now, the Gemara actually will ask later on, then how does that make sense? How is she becoming forbidden? The pasuk is saying, v'hiloy nitfasa. It ends off saying that she wasn't forced. So obviously, it's obvious to the pasuk, and the message the pasuk is trying to say, is that it's obvious that she was tummy. And from the fact that she wasn't forced, so she's going to be held liable. Now, how can you make her forbidden, even if you have kina and stira, but you're saying to the eight aimba that there wasn't even one witness testifying regarding the cohabitation? How could that make her for sure forbidden if we have no one testifying it? But that's what the Gemara is entertaining right now. To say that maybe when the pasuk says, regarding us being stringent on the woman, and she'll be forbidden to the husband, regarding because she was metama, is even if there wasn't even one witness. So that's what the Braisa says. No, you can't say that, because tam alema, that's what the pasuk teaches in Devarim. It says, Layakum eit echad be'ish, that one witness cannot testify regarding a man, as the pasuk there continues in Perek Yutes, pasuk tetzvav, l'chol avon or l'chol chatas, for whatever sin it is. B'chol cheit ashayechta, whatever sin he's going to sin, you can't have a testimony of one witness. Rather, al pishne yedim oy al pishleisha yedim yakum davar. It could only be testified regarding if it's coming from two or three witnesses. Now, from that pasuk, we learn out that wherever it says the term aid, even though it's a singularity, it's actually referenced to two witnesses, and as the Gemara is going to explain, and therefore, as we'll then conclude, we'll show. So therefore, when our pasuk says ve'eid einba, it also means that there's no two witnesses, rather there's only one witness, and that's what we're saying, that even with one witness, ve'hilo netfasa, since she wasn't forced, so she's going to be liable, and she'll be forbidden to her husband, again, even though there's only one aid of the tum itself. Now, as we continue on to Medbeis, how do we know this idea? Now, mimash m'shenema lo'yokum aid be'ish. Now, from the fact that the pasuk says that a witness cannot get up and testify regarding a man, whatever sin it is that he wants to make him liable for, he ate chaylev, he was machal Shabbos, whatever it is, it doesn't say eidim, it says eid in the singular. So any yedeshu echad, don't I know that it means one? Matama loymer echad. So that's what the Bryce is explaining. So why does the pasuk say that loyokum eid echad? That's redundant. You already, eid is singular. Why say one witness? So obviously you could infer from there that actually the term aid means two. Why does that mean two? So that's what Rashi says, because it's a reference to testimony. Testimony is a singularity, but testimony is only with two witnesses, as we know, in general, as that pasuk actually concludes. So therefore, actually the term aid means two witnesses. So, and that's why I had to say aid echa, to say that, oh, one witness won't work. But if I actually only said the term aid, it would mean two witnesses, and that actually does work. So it says the Braisa, Zeb Bana Av. So this is what's called a father building, meaning it's something that can then extend to other halachas, which teaches us, Kal Makom Shenemer Eid, Harei Kan Shnayim. Actually, wherever it says the term Eid, although again that's singularity, it actually references to a unit, one unit of testimony, which are two witnesses. Ad Sheyifer L'cha Kasev Echad, until the Torah specifies, as it does in that pasuk we just quoted, to say Eid Echad, then it's going to mean one. But the word Eid itself actually means two. So now the Gemara goes back to conclude what we had been saying in the Braisa, how we're learning from the word ve'eid aimba. That's what va'am rachmana, so the Torah is telling you when it says ve'eid aimba, is that trei lespa, that regarding har nitma, her having been defiled by this other man, it's saying that there weren't two witnesses, elachad, rather one. And that's what the pasuk concludes, ve'hi lo netfasa, and she wasn't forced, and therefore, since she wasn't forced, a woman that was violated, of, even as a married woman, of course she's not going to be held liable and be culpable. But she wasn't forced. Oh, so asur, so therefore she's going to be asur. That's the source that we see for this halacha. Although in our Mishnah, that, like as we see by Rabbi Yeshua, that maybe the kinyan needs two edim and the steering needs two edim to create the parsha of Safek Saita. But regarding creating this halach of Saita Vada, meaning of her becoming forbidden to her husband automatically, not going through the verification process of the May Saita, she's going to leave without her ksuba, that's enough even if just one witness says, again, after there being kinui and stira, and he says that I saw her being mezana with this man, he's going to be believed, as we see from the eight aimba, there's no two, but there's one, and since it's v'lahila nitfasa, so therefore she's going to be asa. Now the Gemara asks on this braisa. Elatayim d'chsev, it sounds like from the braisa that it's because it's said in the pasuk, as we brought a raya from, lo yokum eit echad be'ish, that in a different context, when I'm talking about testimony in general, it says that one witness can't testify another person regarding a sin that he did or whatever it is. So from that pasuk, the braisa proved that our parasha by Saita, which says v'eid eimba, must be talking about, oh, eid means two, as we prove from there. Oh, so that's why it means to say that there's no two, but there's one. And again, that's how we see that one witness is believed regarding saying that she was nitma. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, holav hach, it sounds like if not for that pasuk, havamina, eid, I would have thought to say that when it says eid by us, the Saita, that charu, that it would mean one, as the Braiso had entertained in their other option. And therefore, then they would have been saying that even if there's not even one witness, that the Gemara asked, now how could you entertain even to say that eid means one? Now if there's not even one witness, say, el b'may mitzra. So how exactly, yes, let's say this kinyan and let's say this stira, how is she becoming forbidden definitively to her husband and to the boil and to truma and to leave without exuba if you have no one testifying that she was nitma? So then the Gemara says, itzrach. That's a good question. But we still needed the pasuk of lo yokum id echad to reveal regarding the parasha of Saita to say that it's saying that it's only two that there's not, but that there is one, and that one aid is believed to say that she's nitma. The reason is as follows, because if we didn't have that other pasuk, salga dait chamina, I would have thought to say that, you're right, meaning without that pasuk, I would have said that whenever it says the word eight, since it's singular term, it actually means one witness. Now, but then I would have understood that by the parasha of Saita, I wouldn't have said that she becomes forbidden even with one witness, and definitely she would not become forbidden with no witnesses, and actually I would have expounded the pasuk in a totally different way. And again, that's why it's important for us to have to learn from that other place to say that eight means two. And then, you're right, it doesn't make sense to say that if there's no witnesses, that she's going to come forbidden. So how could you learn the aid meaning one? So that would say, no, we could learn the aid meaning one if we didn't have that other pasuk. But then the pasuk would have a whole totally different interpretation, and that's why we need to have that pasuk to tell us, no, don't learn it as one. It means two. There's no two, there's one, and that's why she'll be forbidden even with the testimony of one, because I would have expounded as follows, that aid ain ba, when the Torah says that, let's say we're learning as one, that there's not even one witness, what the Torah is saying is that one witness is ein neman ba, that one witness is not believed regarding the Saita to say that he saw that she was nitma, only two. So that's how I would have learned it, and that would have given obviously a whole totally different halacha. We're saying that based on our new understanding from that other pasuk of lo yokum eid echad be'ish, that eid on its own means two. So when we're saying that there's not two, the inference is that there's one. And that's how she'll become tame, she'll become asr, based on testimony of one. You asked, what do you mean? How else are you going to learn the pasuk? One? So how is she becoming asr if there's not one? There's nobody, so who's testifying? So I was saying, you're right, we wouldn't have learned the pasuk that way. If we didn't have that pasuk, we would have said eid means one. So we would have said, when it says, if eid aimba, it means to say that, doesn't mean that there's no witness, it means to say that one witness is not believed, and that you need to have two. And we would have thought that then the woman would not be usher unless there's two witnesses testifying regarding the Tumah. That's why we need that other pasuk to say that no, even one. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ein Nemen Ba? Is that how you're going to learn the pasuk of Eid Ein Ba to say that the one witness is not believed regarding her being Tumah, that she had cohabitation? But then Ve'ilamai Bai, but then why would you need the pasuk to tell you that? You're saying that the pasuk is teaching you that by saying Ve'eid Ein Ba, oh, that one witness is not believed. What do you need a pasuk? Ad de ikatrei? You tell me the pasuk is telling me that, oh, he's not going to be believed to say that she's tama until there's two witnesses? Why do you need a pasuk for that? Lishta krominei, then the pasuk should have been silent, shouldn't have said anything. Because the asya davar, davar mimam, and we would have learned out the gzeirah shava of the word davar, and the word davar from the parasha of dini mamonis of monetary law, where it says by an office, by an adulterous woman, it says kimotza ba'erves davar. It says the pasuk in Devarim Chaf Dalet that if the husband finds something immoral about his wife, which is what we're discussing over here by Seita, being mezana with another man, and it also says by dini mamonis, by monetary law, it says the same word davar al pishnei edim yakum davar, that based on the testimony of two witnesses, the law will be stated, meaning two witnesses have a standing in law. So, v'ano yadana, mididava kol idya shabbatar, and if I would know, like all other testimony in the Torah, to verify in court, you need to have two witnesses. As we learned, it says davar by mamonis, it says davar by arayas. We know that to make a woman forbidden to the husband, you need the testimony of two witnesses. So how can you say that you would have learned without that other pasuk ve'eid aim but to say that one witness is not believed? And what? So are you saying you need two witnesses? Of course you need two witnesses. What's the chiddush? If we're saying ve'eid aim but means say that there's not two, only one, and therefore well, that's a chiddush to say that one witness is believed, that's a chiddush. But if it's telling me I would have said that one is not believed and therefore you need to have two, well that kolatar kul is like that. Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that? So the Gemara says, no, itzrach, you do need this pasuk of lo yakum to reveal regarding, when it says in our parasha of Vasayikta the word aid, that it's talking about two witnesses. Because if we didn't have that other pasuk, solka daitach amina, we would have thought to say that, yes, maybe the term aid in our parasha of Vasayikta is a reference to one witness. And as we had attempted to say, had we not had the other pasuk, that it means to say that one witness is not going to be believed. Now, you had a question to say, what do I need a pasuk for to say that one witness is not believed? Of course, what witness is not believed? One witness is never believed. You always need to have two witnesses. And that Gemara says, no, I would have thought to say that Saita, the suspected adulterous woman, after the husband already warned her, and she even, in spite of the warning, went and secluded herself with this other man, then one witness comes and testifies and says, I saw her being mezana when she was being secluded. I would say that shani, that would be different than kolatera kulo, and that it would be fit to believe this one witness, because what's called in halacha draglaim ladavar, there's leanings that indicate and tell us that she was mezana, that this is true, even though it's just one witness telling us, shahare kinala venistra, because there's leanings already that are indicating there's already all these red flags that the husband warned her and she secluded. And therefore, lishamen ba'eidach, and therefore I would say that the one witness should be believed. That's the chiddush in why we needed to have that other pasuk to tell us that no, don't learn eid as one, because eid means two, and rather that must mean the interpretation of what the pasuk is telling you is that although there's not two and there's only one, she will be usher based on one witness's testimony. Again, because if not, for that other pasuk, even though the seemingly wouldn't make sense, the pasuk of eid aim ba, so what? There's no one there if it means one? So how can then she be usher to the husband? You're right, we would have learned it in a different way. We would have said that one witness is not believed. Rather, you need to have two. And why do you need that? In the whole Torah, it's like that. Why would I need a pasuk to say that? I would have needed a pasuk to say that because I would have thought to say that one should be believed, and actually he is believed, but had we not had that, we would have thought to say that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude from, because it's reklaim ledavet to say that she's tamei. And therefore I would have said kamash malan, that the pasuk is teaching you that no, even in such a situation, one will not make her tamei, will not make her asa until there's two. That's why we need to have that other pasuk to say, no, don't learn like that. That the pasuk is saying she's not usher with one, rather you need two. To the contrary, it's telling you that the eight aim, but there's no two, there's only one, and with one, she will be usher based on one witness's testimony. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umi Metzisa Amrit, is it really possible for you to say that if not for the Torah having said that aid means two from that other pasuk regarding the whole parasha of testimony? I would have thought to say that when it says over here, eid ein ba, it means the ein nemun ba, as we had interpreted, it means to say that, oh, that one witness will not be believed. Now, if that's the case, we're talking about not believing witnesses. That would be the context of the pasuk, about not believing them to make her forbidden to her husband. To the contrary, so that would mean the message of the pasuk is, as a leniency regarding the woman, that is visharya, the Pasuk's message is then a message of permissibility for her to her husband, because we're telling you who's not believed. Now, the difficulty is that because the Pasuk ends, she wasn't forced. Now, what does that sound like? Mechlal da'asur, it must be saying a message of prohibition, where it's obvious that she was tamei. We're just wondering if she was forced or not. Oh, you weren't forced. Of course, you're forbidden. Now, therefore, the difficulty is, how can you say v'hiloi nitfasa, which is a message of prohibition, on v'eid einbo, which is a message of permissibility, of saying that, oh, the one witness, oh, you're not believed. Oh, and you weren't forced. In other words, the beginning of the pasuk, you could say that through two witnesses, we have b'shachav ish oisa, that a man laid with her, we have two witnesses. And on that is what we say, okay, for eid einba, so it's only with two witnesses that are believed, but one witness is not. But the problem is the end of the pasuk, when it says v'hilo nitfasa, how could that be going on one witness not being believed? But you're saying, obviously, that if you're saying that v'eid einba is saying that we don't consider her as if she for sure had cohabitation, so then why are you ending off and saying, oh, she wasn't forced? Weren't forced about what? You tell me the eight aimbo, that's the words right beforehand, which is saying that she wasn't nivola. So what are you saying that she wasn't forced? That sounds like, again, that the message is saying that of prohibition, and you're learning it the eight aimbo, a message of permissibility. So the Gemara says, no, itzrach. It would still be necessary to have that other pasuk, and we would still learn eight aimbo if we didn't have that other pasuk as one witness, and it would tell us that eight aimbo, that one witness is not believed. Now, how does that jive with the two end phrases of that pasuk, which one's telling us permissibility, one's telling us prohibition? Is we would have learned it as follows. Selka de chamina, we would have thought to say that the pasuk is saying as follows. Ein neman ba, that one witness is not believed regarding saying that she was mezana. And what that infers is adi ikatrei, until there's two witnesses. Now, and that is what the pasuk is concluding in the next few words. Ubetrei nami he. Now, even with two witnesses, the woman is only going to be forbidden if the loy netfasa, if she wasn't forced. That would make sense. Meaning, yes, one's a message of permissibility, but the inference of that permissibility is, oh, but what is forbidden when there's two witnesses? That's what the pasuk concludes, that even that when is that prohibition is only v'hiloy netfasa if she wasn't forced. Oh, that's why with two she's going to be forbidden. And again, therefore, kamash malan, that's why we have to come onto the other pasuk to say no. Eid einba, the word eid, as we learn when it says eid echad, must mean eid without echad, means two. So our pasuk is saying v'eid einba, there's no two, but rather that is one. And that's what the pasuk concludes, v'hilo nitfasa, oh, if she wasn't forced. And even though there's only one witness, him testifying will make her forbidden automatically without going through the whole parasha of sabek saita, of mei saita, if you have kinu stira and this eid echad of nitma, she becomes forbidden to the Baal, the Boil, and for Truma. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from a Mishnah that Rabbi Shua, he argued in Rabbi Yezer. He said, Mekanu la pishnayim, he says, I agree that the kinu, the warning, has to be with two witnesses, but v'chulu, etc., where he argued and he said that the seclusion also has to be testified by two witnesses, not like Rabbi Yezer, who said that even one witness, or even the husband himself. Now the Gemara asks, my time, Rabbi Shua, what's the reason, Rabbi Shua, that it requires two witnesses for both the kinu and the stira? So Amakra, it's because the pasuk says in Bamidbar, it says ve'eid ein, as we quoted this before, ve'eid ein ba, that there is no witnesses regarding her. Now, as we just explained before, this pasuk is talking about the tuma aspect, meaning her actual being defiled through cohabitation with this other man. Not the warning part, not the secluding part. It's talking about her actual shechva zera, having semen from this other man. Where that's what the pasuk was saying, v'hi nitma v'eid ein ba, and that's what the word ba we're expounding over here, where we just explained the Gemara previously that it means to say, oh, eid ein ba, there's no two, but there's only one, and with one, she'll be forbidden. Now, so on that, Rabbi Shua learns that ba regarding this, meaning this of her being defiled, that's where we say that eid echad, that one witness is believed, but the inference is v'loy bikinui, and not regarding the warning, and ba v'loy bistira, it's only regarding this of the tumah that we believe one witness, but not regarding her seclusion. Those elements need two witnesses as kol tarkula. Now, Rabbi Yezrim, he says, bavole bikinui. What we learn now from that, when it says ve'eid ein ba, which again tells us that one is believed, that's regarding tumah, but not regarding the warning. And that, the Gemara asks, ve'eim bavole bistiro, but ba is exclusive to anything else, saying that's only for this of tumah that one is believed. So why doesn't he also say like a Yeshua that that excludes, that stira, seclusion, also requires two witnesses? And that the Gemara answers, stira iskish l'tuma. He says that no, that one witness is believed for the stira, just like regarding the tuma, because stira is compared to tuma. Like it says in the pasuk over there, it says v'nistra v'hinitma, that she gets secluded and she becomes defiled. So we see that they're equated one with the other. So just like by tuma, we learn that one witness is believed, so too regarding the stira. Now that the Gemara asks, kinanami iskish l'tuma. What do you mean the warning is also equated to becoming defiled? Like it says in the pasuk after that, v'kines ishto v'hinitma, that he warns his wife and she becomes tamei. So you see the kinah is also compared to tuma. Why there does he say you need two and not one? So that the Gemara says, but hamid rachman ba. But the Torah is excluding something of this process from when it says ba in it, in the tuma that one is believed. But kinui obviously is not. It needs to. Now that the Gemara says, Marisa, so where do you see fit? Ba is excluding something, either kinui or stira. Now you're saying that, oh, they're compared to tuma, so they have to have two. Now, both of them are compared to tuma. So where do you see fit to say that what's being excluded is kinui, but that stira, since it's going to be compared to tuma, it's going to be enough with one witness, maybe say the other way around. Maybe say kinui is compared to tuma, that there you only need one, but stira will be excluded from the term ba. So I think my answer is mistabra stira adifa. It's more logical to say that stira, the seclusion, is more prime to be stringent and say that she's going to be forbidden even with one witness like tuma. And the reason being is shekein oisarta, because the seclusion is what makes her forbidden to her husband and to the suspected adulterer out of doubt, kituma, like by tuma. In other words, when you have someone that, when she actually has this nus that we have verified, where she then definitively becomes forbidden to the baal and the boil, so stira does the same thing in a doubtful way. Whereas the Gemara expounds later on Daf Chasam and Aleph, that the Pasuk teaches you that she becomes forbidden even in the situation of doubt. So just like by Tumah, which obviously if we have ways of verifying that she was Mazana, so that's just exactly what Stira does in a doubtful situation. You're secluded, oh, you're forbidden. So that's why we equate Stira with Tumah more than Kinut with Tumah, and therefore if Ba is excluding something to say that only here does one work, must be excluding kinui, that there has to have two. Now, that thing must other rabbi, to the contrary. Kinui odaf. Maybe say that kinui is the more prime one to be stringent on it and say that it should be forbidden even if only one witness was there when he warned her. Shekin ikka garam law, because that's the primary thing that causes, it's only through the warning that the secluding will make her forbidden to her husband and to the baal, meaning a regular woman that was saisa that had stira doesn't become forbidden. It's only because of the kinui that started it all. So maybe that should be the one with one, and that stira needs two. So that the Gemara says no, because ilav stira kinu meika. If not for her being secluded, so what does the warning do? The warning has no significance whatsoever. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Vilav kinui stira mayhani. If not for the warning, so then what does secluding help? You don't become forbidden based on secluding unless you have the warning. So that the Gemara answers, afilachi stira adif. It still makes sense to say that the most stringent one is the secluding. The aschalta de tomahi, because ultimately it's the beginning of being defiled. Meaning, you can warn from today to tomorrow. If the woman doesn't go and seclude herself with this man, there's no znus that's going to happen. The actual being defiled begins with seclusion. That's why halachas of yichud is so important. Being secluded, because that's actually the beginning of cohabitation. You have to at least get a private area, and since it's the beginning of tumah, so therefore that's the more similar one to tumah, and therefore since it's equated to tumah, it's going to be usher even with just one witness. Whereas ba is excluding something to say that it's not enough with one, needs two, it must be reference to kinui. That's the opinion of Reb Eliezer. Now the Gemara says that Masnitin, our Mishnah, that taught that according to Reb Eliezer, that kinui is with two witnesses, and stira is even through the husband himself, is the loiki haitana. It's not like the following Tana that we're going to quote that actually taught in the name of Reb Eliezer, the exact opposite. That he said that stira actually, the seclusion has to be testified by two witnesses, and the kinui, the warning, could be even through the husband himself, meaning without any other witnesses. The time, like we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, Oima, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, a different version. Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda says, name Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakane le'ishto, if someone does kinui, warns his wife, Mekane alpi eid echad, or alpi atzmai, he could warn her in the presence of even just one witness, or even by himself, just between him and her. However, to make her drink the mei saita, in other words, which happens when there's seclusion, there has to be two witnesses that testified regarding her being secluded. Now, Hishiva Chacham L'Divir B'Yisra B'Yehuda, so the sages responded, according to the version of B'Yisra B'Yehuda in Rabbi Yezer, they said that Ein La Davar, that now the opinion of Rabbi Yezer has no Saif, has no end. I think Gemara is shortly going to explain what does that mean, there's no end. But they say, according to your interpretation, there's no end, and therefore it doesn't make sense. Now, the Gemara first asks, my time is Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda. What's the reason of this version of Rabbi Yezer of Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda? So, Amakra Ba, because the Pasuk says that regarding Tumah, that eight Ein Ba, that there's no two but only one, and that's where one works. That excludes Ba, it's regarding this, but Ba V'Lay B'Stira. But regarding seclusion, oh, one's not going to work, you're going to need two. Now, that the Gemara asks, and this is the exact opposite of our Mishnah's version, V'Eima Ba V'Lay B'Kinder, what it means, say that Ba says you need two elsewhere, so that should say not just Ba V'Lay B'Stira, but also Ba V'Lay B'Kinder. This version has Rabbi Yezer saying that kinu is enough with one, or even himself. Why? It should say only by tumah is one enough. But kinu needs two. And that the Gemara answers, no, kinu is kish l'tumah. The warning is compared to being defiled. Tichsev, like it says in the pasuk, kinu is ish tevi nitma, that he warns his wife and she becomes defiled. So we see that they're compared, and therefore one is enough. So that the Gemara asks, tira nami is kish l'tumah. What do you mean? Being secluded is also compared to tumah. Tichsev, in this tevi nitma, it says that she's secluded and she becomes tamei. So there should also be enough with one. So that the Gemara says, no, hahu l'kama shir stira k'dei tumah hu da'asa. When it mentions tumah by stira, it's not to equate the seclusion to being defiled to say it's enough with one witness. Actually, there you need two, as we're excluding from ba v'lay b'stira. So why does it mention tumah? It's coming to say that how long is necessary for them to be secluded for her to then become forbidden as a suffix saita. It's the enough amount of time that she could have been defiled by this man. That's the shear of stira that she now becomes a suffix saita. So that's, again, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer according to Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda. Now, however, the Braisa said, Hishiva Chacham L'Divir Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda, but the sages responded that according to Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, that Ein L'Davar Saif, then there's no end, then that's something that's untenable. So that the Gemara is mind you, what's this Ein L'Davar Saif that they had complaints about? So they said, because the Zimnin D'Loi Kani, what's going to happen is that sometimes it could be that he didn't ever give her a warning. Now, what happens is, he's going to get upset at her one time. V'amar kanoi, and he's going to say, I warned her. He's going to say that I warned her regarding that man. Now, he's going to bring witnesses that she secluded with that man for a short amount of time. Now, the problem is that since he actually didn't warn her, because there actually was no warning, so she wasn't careful. It just happened to be one time she was secluded with a man. Now, since according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, He could do a kinui by himself between him and her, so then that what happens is that he could work backwards now. So stira needs two witnesses. Fine, it's not so hard if it happens to be that she was secluded with a man and there were two people that saw her go into the room with that man, and he's going to say I did kinui, and now if you're saying kinui is al piatzmoi, so now she's a suffix saita. So therefore they said the ein la davar saif, he can't do that because now he's going to work backwards and there really was no kinui, and he's going to say that there was kinui. So on that, the Gemara asks. So okay, that was their complaint with Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer that ain't la davar saif, and it's something that he can easily make problems for her. So on that, the Gemara says, "Hala Mishnah seinu yesh la davar saif." What do you mean? According to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in our version of our Mishnah, there is an end, meaning you don't run into these type of problems. You could have the same problem. Zimnin delo yistater va'amar yistater. It could be that she never secluded, and he just warned her, he doesn't like his wife having a relationship with that man. And really she's not doing anything inappropriate. But he's going to say, I saw that she was secluded. And if you're saying that he could warn her in front of two witnesses, and then the stira is even bein le bein atzma, he could just testify himself, that's also very problematic, where he could just make up and say, I saw that she was secluded. And now she becomes a saita. So, Amar Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar B'Yechan, and he says, you're right. What the sages were responding was that af l'divrei Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda ein la davar saif, meaning you're right, our Mishnah's version of Rabbi Eliezer is also problematic because he could just make problems if he's believed on himself by himself. But on that they were saying that also according to his version it's also problematic that there's no end, because anytime she's included with a man he says, oh, I was mekana you with her, and he's upset, now he creates a problem, she has to go through the whole saita procedure. Now on this answer the Gemara asks, af l'divrei Rabbi Yisra B'Yehuda, what do you mean? You're saying that also in Rabbi Yehuda Behuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, and that is B'loy M'boy L'Mishnah Seinu, and that definitely, for sure, in our Mishnah's version, there's a problem of Ein L'Dav Asayif. But Adarabba, to the contrary, it should be the other way around. L'Mishnah Seinu Ika Iker. According to our Mishnah's version, there's basis for what's going on over here, because what happened is according to our Mishnah's version, Kina has to be with two Edom. The beginning stage, the warning, has to be with two witnesses. So obviously, it wasn't that he just, in a fit of anger, he just made up a lie. Because obviously, it had to have been with a procedure. He brought two witnesses, says, look, I'm warning you, don't seclude with this man. So when he then later subsequently comes and says that I saw him being nister with that man, there's already something to say that it wasn't just that he's making this stuff up, meaning that she was secluded because there was something over here already that he had warned her. But Hassam Lekeiker, in Rabbi Yisrael Behuda's version, there, since he didn't warn her in front of witnesses, so there's no substance over there, because when he gets angry, it's very easy for him to say, oh, I did kina with her already. And now, if he really wants to make problems for her, it won't be hard to find many situations that she was secluded with a man, and he'll be able to get two witnesses that say that she was secluded with him. And therefore, that is the more Ein L'Dav Asayif. The Rabbi Yisrael Behuda's version is more like, well, come on, if you're gonna let him say he did kinui on his own, so any time he'll find out later that she was with a man, he says, oh, I was makan with her. So why are you saying as if our mission is the bigger Ein L'Dav Asayif? And even Rabbi Yisrael Behuda's version is actually the other way around. Our mission's version is not so bad because he at least did kinui in front of two witnesses. So the Gemara says, you're right, Eli'iyat Mahochit, rather, if the way it's supposed to be said is, that Ladivir B'Yisrael Behuda, according to his version, and Af L'Mishnah Seinu, and also our Mishnah's version, Ein L'Dav Asayif, there's not going to be in the end. Meaning the more problematic, so to speak, is B'Yisrael Behuda's version, and also our Mishnah is also Ein L'Dav Asayif type of a problem situation. That, according to that, if he could just do it B'nei L'Ben Atzmoy, just by himself, either Kino or Stira, he could run into problems that he could just make this stuff up. Now, therefore, Amr B'chanina Misur, he says, Loileme inish le'itze bezman hazeh, a person should not tell his wife in today's times, even just between him and her, Le'itistri b'hadi pleini, I don't want you to seclude yourself with that man. Now the reason is because Dilma Kaimlan k'Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. The Amr Kino Pe'atma, he said, the halachic validity of Kino, of the warning, is even if it's just between him and her. Now the problem is, if im umistatra, if it ends up being that she gets secluded with this man, so and there's two witnesses who can verify that, so she becomes forbidden to her husband. Now, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, there was at least you could go through the Meisaita that could then verify and say, okay, that it shows that she really wasn't defiled. But v'leko idna Meisaita l'mivdika, now we don't have any more the Saita warders to inspect the ka'asala ilava isrudeyal oilam, and then she'll be forbidden to her husband forever. Because if he warned her, that's halachic kinui. And then if two witnesses come and say, oh, she, by the way, you know, the wife was with this guy alone, there's two witnesses, she then became a suffix saita, and the only way out is through the purification waters, and we don't have that, and she'll be forbidden to her husband forever. And they don't say that to the wife. Now, Amr Shlokesh clarifies what we had mentioned as we opened up the Masechta. We used the word hamakane. It says, ma loshen kinu, what is this term of kina that's mentioned in the Torah that we have been using as the term for the warning of the wife not to seclude with this man? So he says it's from the word of kina, of jealousy, which actually means anger. It's davar hamatla kina beino lebein acher. When the husband warns the wife not to seclude with other men, so what he's doing is he's making anger, whereas Rashi brings from a pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Beis, Heim kim uni beloy el, Hashem says that they have angered me with a non-god, meaning that they're leaving me and going to idol worship. Or like a pasuk in Mishlei Vav says that ki kina, because jealousy actually causes chamas gavur, the anger of a person. So jealousy, the word kin is actually very much related to anger. And that is, the kinui, why is it called kinui when he warns her to stay away from other men? Is because it causes that other people should now be angry at her. Why? Because amak savur, obviously Rish Lakish holds, Kina al pe'atzma. He holds like the opinion, which we brought these other opinions before, that when he warns her, that has halachic validity even just between him and her without witnesses. Now, the problem is no one else knows what's going on behind closed doors between the husband and wife when he warns her, stay away from these other men. Now, people are going to say, what's with this woman that suddenly she's staying away from people? What happened now that suddenly she's staying away from all these men? Now, they're going to start getting upset at her. Why is it suddenly she's antisocial, staying away from people? No one knows, because kinu can be, according to Rish Lakish, b'nei l'ben atzma. So that's what's called kinui, from the word of kinu, of kas, of anger, where now people are going to start getting angry at her. Now, however, Rav Yemir bar Reb Shlemya Mishmei d'Abaya Amar, he says that the reason why it's called kinui is davar matla kinu b'nei l'beina. It's something that causes anger between him and her, meaning between husband and wife. When he does kinu and he warns her to stay away from other men, it causes the anger between husband and wife. Why? Amok Savar, obviously we see that Abaya holds kinu al pishnayim edim. He holds like the opinion that says that warning has to be with two witnesses. Now, two witnesses. Fakul alma yadi dekanila. Now everybody knows, because that's what witnesses do, they reveal to everybody, that he warned her to stay away from other men. And now no one else is upset at her now when she stays away. They feel bad actually for her, that now the husband warned her to stay away from other men. But v'ihu hu da'asi l'mevet kinabada. Now, however, it's the husband that's going to end up getting upset at the wife, because now she's going to be provoking him, because she says, oh yeah, you suspect me, you keep me away from other men, and that's going to cause discord, and that's why it's called kinu again, either like Rosh Lakish says, because it causes anger between her and other people, because he holds kinu is b'noi l'ben atzma, or it causes discord between husband and wife, because now everybody knows about what's going on between husband and wife, that he suspects it with other men, if she starts provoking him, and therefore they get in a fight. Now, however, we continue on top of Gimel and Alf, but one thing that we see is that according to both opinions, that they learn that kinui is a term of creating anger. Alma kasabri das lakanis, obviously they hold, like we mentioned this concept from our Mishnah of Hamakani, that it's forbidden to do kinui. It's not something that we want. It provokes anger, either between other people and her, or between husband and wife. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Umanda ama mutilakamis, as we'll see later, that there's a machlek is, according to the pin that says that it's actually permitted, and it's not a bad thing for a husband to warn the wife from staying away from other men. So ma loshin kinui. So what's the term of kinui? It's obviously not a reference of, like they had said, regarding of causing anger as if it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. She's hanging around the wrong type of a people, you warn her. So what does kinui mean? Amar of Nachma Yitzchok, he says, in kinui elu loshin hasra. The word kinui, as we had been using it, he says that that's actually the definition. It means a term of warning. So too, it says a pasuk in Yael, "Vayikane Hashem la'artze," that Hashem warned. This was regarding the different types of locusts that he said it's not going to destroy his land, that's what the parasha was talking about previously regarding the sending of the locust. So when it says li'artze, actually means, as Rashi explains, al'artze, where we find a precedent like that in other places. So it's that Hashem was yikani regarding his land. It means, as the context of the pasuk there is, that he was warning regarding his land, regarding not having the locusts destroy the land. So we see that kinu means a lashon hasra. According to that opinion, it's not a bad thing. It's just defined as, not as kinu, but rather as a warning. That's what kinu is that when the husband warns his wife to not seclude with that man that he suspects as an adulterer with his wife.